podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening, all you nutters out there that are still up and want to chat about some of the filthy boxing that's happening tonight. We've had two fights on, spoilt for choice, some might say. Others might say we've just watched two fights full of dross. Joining me is Zico. He's got the pizza in ready to go. That rhymes as well, so I'm having that all day long. And then we've got Justin, the North Carolina assassin. Nice to have you on, lads. Zico, we go to you first. What were you watching and what do you make of it?
I watched the Aziz Vibuatsi fight and the couple of undercard fights before it. Aziz against Batsy, I thought it was a decent fight. It wasn't brilliant, but it was good. I kind of felt beforehand that Aziz might get the upset, but kind of panned out that Batsy was just a wee bit too sharp, just a wee bit too comfortable in the jab and the outside, and kind of picking him off as he came in. Aziz never really managed to force a pace that was going to work. I thought Matt Macklin was kind of spot on throughout the fight when he was talking about Aziz has to kind of up it, he has to work at a higher intensity, he has to push it a bit more. And maybe it's easier said than done, especially when you're in with quite a sharp boxer, but he never really managed to do that. I don't know if you were watching that at the Ben fight, but throughout the fight, Aziz kind of looked a wee bit susceptible to slipping. Definitely seemed like the advertisements in the canvas were causing him a lot of problems underfoot. You know, the first sort of 8 or 9 rounds, there was a couple of wee moments where he looked unsteady. Then laterally, the last couple of rounds, he took a couple of knockdowns that you would have to score them as knockdowns, but they weren't real knockdowns. A punch landed and his feet kind of gave out from under him. Particularly the second one, his feet fucking exploded out from under him. I don't know if I've ever seen a guy go down like that.
No, he did a complete spin like when he got hit. I don't think the punch was that hard for him to do that.
No, definitely not. I mean, the punch was like defying the force of gravity if it's spun around like that. So it was just one of those things. It kind of took the wind out of sails just when he was looking for the kind of big Hollywood finish, which I don't think was going to come. But those kind of knockdowns denied any kind of hope of it for him or for us or for Aziz backers like myself at the bookies. It was a decent enough scrap. Batsy, to give him his credit, was quite impressive. He controlled the distance. The jab was working nice. He was mixing in sort of single shots and then sort of towards the end of the fight, he was really kind of throwing some combinations and putting it on him a wee bit. I felt like in the 12th round, Aziz was absolutely fucked. He had one last wee hurrah. He was gassed. And Buatsi definitely could have pushed for the knockout. He definitely could have got that fight finished with about maybe a minute and 30 seconds to go in the fight. But he just thought, nah, not going to do it. Safety first, which I was kind of disappointed to see. I think if he goes and stops a guy with Aziz, that's a bit of a statement. And maybe a wee bit of a... Buatsi's kind of flattered to deceive a wee bit. He hasn't really fulfilled the potential. And if he'd managed to really kind of put an exclamation mark on it, it would have been really impressive. But he just kind of took the kind of easy percentage chance and saw the fight out. But yeah, that's how I saw it. I'm hoping Justin can fill us in, or yourself maybe, Danny, on the Conor Benn fight. Just the one last wee thing I'm going to say here is anybody that watched Conor Benn fight rather than Aziz Buatsi, that is impressive commitment to fucking hating Conor Benn. How the fuck anyone chose to watch that, I do not know, but I take my hat off to the fucking black hearts that you must have of absolute hatred. So over to you guys, I'm done.
Well, hang on, no, I want to counteract your comments there, because
all right, on you go.
I feel like tonight on Sky Sports on Boxer, we saw the very best of Buatsi and probably the worst of Aziz. And I say that with almost hand on heart, because Aziz for me has always been a heavy hitter who plants his... He likes to get his opponents up against the ropes and plant his feet and trade in powerful punches and almost comes off the best, like, in all the fights that I've seen him fight. And I feel like tonight that he didn't employ that tactic, and he almost looked he looked off the pace from the get go. Like, it really was a weird. Like, don't get me wrong, he had his moments in the fight, and I thought, if I'm going to be honest, out of the harder, cleaner punches were landed by Aziz throughout the fight. But Buatsi did his best work tonight. I feel like that's the best fight I've seen him fight, which doesn't bode much hope for his future.
Well, the one thing I would say, I agree with what you say about Aziz. He is a guy who works him at the ropes and then unloads. Now, he didn't do that tonight, but was it he didn't do it or he couldn't do it? And what was the reason that he couldn't do it? Now, in the chat, somebody mentioned rumours of Aziz having a bad camp or something. Don't know anything about that. Never heard anything about it before tonight. Maybe that's a factor. But for me, and I did like Aziz getting into the fight, I thought he was maybe going to get the upset. Had a bit of money on him. I just felt like Buatsi just didn't let him do what he wanted to do. Now, you're saying that was maybe the best Buatsi you've seen. It's the best Buatsi I've seen. And I think the fact that Aziz couldn't really get the foothold that he wanted to get was down to what Buatsi was doing. Buatsi was just managing that wee bit of distance in the middle of the ring, picking him off with a jab. Now, you're saying the harder shots were landed by Aziz. I don't know if I would agree with that, but I know the point you're making. If Aziz landed the harder shots, maybe he did, but the sharper shots were landed by Buatsi and more of them. And that's my buzzer, so I'm going to need to go. Over to you guys, be back in a minute.
No worries. Justin, I mean, did you see any of the UK card, or are you?
Well, we get Sky started something with, I don't know if y'all have ever heard of it or not. It's like Peacock.
I've got Peacock over here on the Fire Twitch. Yeah,
they show all the Sky stuff over here now for free on the Peacock. So I had the Ben fight going on the computer, and then I had the big TV going with the Sky card. And I mean, there's nothing I can add to the Watsy fight. I think he was just sharper, straighter shot, and the jab, and Aziz just didn't do anything with it. I mean, he didn't really start throwing until like later in the fight, and it was just too late. And I can't really add anything to that. As far as Ben goes, my God, we really underestimated how strong those eggs were, because he looked god awful bad. I mean, he, like Pistol Pete Dobson, coming into this fight, I mean, we're all hardcore people, but how many people on the podcast and people in the chat room can actually say they knew a lot about Pistol Pete Dobson? I didn't know nothing about him. And he went 12 rounds with a guy who looked like he was 60 years old. He had no power. He was just terrible. And you could tell that Ben looked horrible. I mean, he just, like, after four, you could tell after he didn't knock him out, which what he was going for, the knockout. And once he didn't get that in the first few rounds, he had nothing. You could tell he just didn't have anything in the tank. He just kind of had to manage the fight and just kind of get through it, because I don't think he was prepared, definitely was not planning or prepared to go 12 rounds with Pistol Pete. And it was just it was a shit show. I mean, he just looked bad. They, once again, I mean, it had never been a main event. They should have stuck him undercard just to get, because this is basically get a rust off fight if you look at it, but it just makes them look worse.
So it makes them look a whole lot worse. What time is that fight on for you? Because obviously it was, you know, fairly late here. But what's that?
Well,
what's
the time? Vegas is 2 hours behind us, so I think it started like 1 or 12 my time. They're like 12 my time or 1. So it start actually the main event, they actually come out at like 5 my time. So it'd have been like 10 there. So like 3 o'clock Vegas. Trust me, if you've ever been to Las Vegas, there is nobody going to go into a casino or go into a ballroom and watch a fight at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in Las Vegas.
No, I've been there.
It's just horrible they even decided to do all this. Ben looked like shit. If Ben had told anybody alive, he'd have got knocked out.
It's interesting you say that, because I happened to be in Vegas when Anthony Joshua fought Joseph Parker. And obviously, being big into my boxing at the time, I was like, right, well, I'm going to go and find somewhere to watch that fight, because it was my honeymoon and my wife was pregnant at the time. And I was just like, right, she was like, I'm going to chill out. And I was like, right, I'm going to go find the boxing, somewhere to watch the boxing. Nowhere had the fight on. And it just, it almost speaks volumes. Like, if you can't have the heavyweight champion of the world spilling into your casinos, yeah, why do you want Conor Benn, the egg cheating fucking nitwit? Like, and I'm saying that politely because I could go on a massive rant right now, fighting in Vegas in front of people who have no idea who he is or what he's done up to this point.
And the key is you know how Vegas works. Somebody had to put up the arena fee. Who the hell is putting up the arena fee? I think DAZN probably paid them to let us have the fight there. Like, you know, you know how Las Vegas works. When you go to Las Vegas, that's because they pay you to come there. They bring you there. That did not happen this time. They probably paid top money just to have somebody to let them have it there. And it was just, I mean, come on. It was terrible. It was just bad. The whole if you want to get honest with you, all the cards tonight were god awful bad. Bawatzi and Aziz, that actually went the exact way I thought it would, because neither guy really is a power puncher. You know, they're not known for just going there and knocking you out. So that fight kind of went the way you would expect it to go. Ben, like I said, when he didn't knock him out in the first 2 to 3 rounds, he was done. You could see his energy, he was done.
And the singing sensation Michael Thompson makes a valid point there. Ben going 12 again does not look so bad, doesn't it? And it does, because awful. You know, it's I said in the Nutters chat there earlier, you know, like, Hearn needs to cash out on him or drop him off, because he's doing him no favors. I really can't understand why he's backing this young lad unless Conor Benn knows something about him and Skye Nicholson. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, it really is a bad look, isn't it?
Before the eggs incident, you could see why he was backing him. For some reason, people kind of liked him. I guess it's because of his dad. But now, you're right. If I'm Hearn now, after this performance, okay, let's go ahead and call Boots Ennis. Let's go ahead and call somebody and get some money and end this. So, let's go ahead and end it. It's over for him.
But then he's calling... He's calling out Kell Brook.
That's it. That's all it is. It's cashing in shit fights against bums. Well, not even bums. You don't cash in against a bum. You build the record against the bum. But Kell Brook, much as he was a good fighter, we all know he's done. He was done years ago. So for a guy like Conor Benn, the plan, as far as I can tell, has always been build him and build him and build him, and feed them guys that are done, or push them towards the Eubank fight, which is a shit joke fight in its own way. It would be a big deal, it would do big money, but it's always been a fucking shit fight, because we all know that Conor Benn is barely a welterweight, never mind a middleweight. Like, it's always been about the bullshit fight hustle with him, guiding him towards that and cashing him out. That's how I see it.
Yeah,
and if he can make some money along the way, fighting fucking second-rate guys, if he can build a fan base of numpties that actually think he's any good, all the better. But that's always been the plan with Brook. It's just bullshit fights, old guys that are done, and then trying to make it with the Chris Eubank fight. And the thing is, he's fighting at welterweight. There are no gimmies at welterweight if you want to fight for a world title. You know, I remember when Amir Khan was coming up, he lost to Bradis Prescott after he had fought. Just after he signed a big Sky deal, and the Prescott fight was the one fight before he started fighting for world titles, and he lost it. And what they did was, rather than put him in with like Juan Manuel Marquez or something like that at lightweight, they moved him up to light welterweight, and they got, was it Kotelniks? Remember that guy?
That's Kotelnik. Right. Yeah, Kotelnik, yeah.
They moved him up and picked a kind of winnable fight for him, which was a smart move. And, you know, like when he was fighting at lightweight, when he lightweight when it was an easier thing.
You don't begrudge that kind of move sometimes, do you?
No. I mean, if they wanted to move Conor Benn up to light middleweight, I mean, best of luck with that, because it's not going to fucking work, you know. It's just been bullshit the whole way through with Conor Benn. He's never going to fight a live body. He's never going to fight a domestic rival. He's never going to fight like a tough contender, like what's that guy? Like an Eastern European welterweight with a really nice jab. What's that guy's name? He's from like Latvia, Lithuania, or somewhere like that. What's
you mean? Lithuanian guy, Kavalauskas.
No. The boy, you know, the fight get called off because the other guy had grabbed him.
Virgil Hunter. Virgil
no, the Estonian lad you're talking about,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Stanionis.
Right. See, if you really believed in Ben, you'd put him in my guy with Stanionis. Wow. Maybe not Stanionis, but a Stanionis type.
Yeah,
I'm never going to do that. Of course he would. Of course he would. But if you were trying, if you really believed in Ben, he's the sort of guy you would put him in with to show that he can go and fight Boots Ennis. But of course that's not going to happen. You know, it's bullshit. But anyway, that's my rant over.
No, yeah, it's fair play. We had Warrior Webb. I've had too many beers. Warrior Webb joined us briefly for a second. It's a shame. If you want to come back on, have your say, mate, feel free. I'm going to break it down as it is. Like I said, like I'm lucky enough. We've got the bar at home. We've got two screens on the go. Conor Ben on one and the Aziz and Bouazzi fighting the other. And I got to say, yeah, Dobson, for all his credit, threw his hands. Like he had a go, didn't he? He absolutely had a go. And Ben at times took shots that he didn't need to take. And you just think like, it only takes levels, like, and Conor Ben is not fighting levels right now. He is fucking like, he's in the doldrums.
What level is Dobson?
Dobson's in the doldrums, mate. Believe me. Like, well, Justin, you tell us more. Dobson, what
I don't
know
about the guy.
Nobody knows anything about him.
Exactly.
That's the point. I heard his name. I mean, we all know, like I said earlier, we love boxing. If you looked at me right now and said, oh, I know Pistol Pete Dobson, I'd be like, well, you must have just randomly saw him on YouTube because nobody knows who the hell he is. Nobody.
Yeah, it's bad. It's a bad show when your promoter is backing you so much. And like prior to the egg scandal, he's telling everyone he's a killer. You know, he knocks people out for fun, da da da. And then he's fought two bums in a row now without their eggs behind him, and he has been nothing but shit. But what can we do about it? We can't do a lot about it. You know, Herm will carry on, and until he sits in, he's standing in that ring with a live body, then it will continue. And let's face it, boys, we have had it for a long time with many, many fighters that have been, we've seen it ourselves. We know they're terrible, but yet, you know, the promoter will feed us dross, you know. And I don't mean to be like horrible on some people, but like there's even people like, I'm trying to think now, like some names, you know, there's been some names that have been back to the hills. And the minute they've stepped in, even Anthony Crowler to a degree, you know, he wasn't, you know, we all knew that he wasn't world level. And then the minute he stepped up to someone who was like, even on the outskirts of world level, like he got done. And it makes a difference. It really does. It does make a big difference.
Why was the fight in Vegas? Like why go all the way to Vegas? I understand he can't fight in the UK because he's probably still banned.
He's still banned.
Why not do it in, like, they've had fights. Was it Monaco? They've had a few fights. Ireland. What's the deal?
I'm going to stick my neck out and say that Hearn, with that so-called American platform, thought that they might get some, like, you know, Vegas goers kind of thing. Oh, yeah, like, you know, let's go out and watch a boxing for $30 or whatever. And it's failed on him because...
At lunchtime,
again, like, Justin, tell me, like,
what he was doing.
From what I saw, like the attendance in that arena, like they made the front look busy, but I imagine they pulled a lot of those people forward.
Oh yeah, because they blacked out. Like it seems like after you saw the first three rows, that was blacked out. After that, like you couldn't see past. I think reason they went to Vegas was because they're still trying to push this Conor Ben thing that people like him. So of course. Let's forget about that he can't fight in Europe because, you know, we're going to keep that, you know, under our hat about that. So let's just go pretend, look, Conor Ben's going to Vegas. Like, we got him in Vegas. This is where all the big stars go, is Vegas. That's why they did it, because it looks to them and to his casual fans, it's like, oh, look, well, look, he's not fighting in Europe. Why are we going to fight in Europe? He's fighting in Vegas, man. That's where everybody wants to go. It looks good on paper to people that don't know what boxing really is. So it looks like he's actually, you know, who cares? That's all that was. It's all about aesthetics. It's all about the visual. And that's the reason they pick Vegas. Simple as that. Because it looks good for people who don't know.
Like, how did the actual fight go? I mean, we've just spent like 10 minutes taking the piss out of the guy. Apparently he started quite well, I was reading. What was the kind of deal like? Justin, did you see that fight?
Which one, the Ben?
Yeah, how did the fight go?
What he did was he come out for the knockout, and then he didn't get it. He come out pretty, I wouldn't say sharp, but he come out, and the way he looked, you thought, okay, he's going to get him in the first couple of rounds. But when Benson, Pistol Pete, stood up to it, that was it. He had no other gear. He gave everything he had in the first, like, 3-4 rounds, and then he just had to kind of manage it because he was getting tired, and he just kind of had to manage the rest of the fight. He went for it. He really thought this was going to be about a 1-round, 2-round fight. I'm going to look good in Vegas. But then he couldn't get him out because Ben is not that good. And this guy was a little bit tougher than they thought. And that's all that mattered. And this guy went 12. It looks horrible. But Ben tried. But once he couldn't get him, he kind of slowed down a little bit. And then I think Benson, if I remember right, I think he probably won a couple of rounds in the second half of the fight. Just because, and Ben took some shots. Benson, Dobson, whatever his name. Whatever.
Dobson, he took plenty of clean shots off Dobson.
Yeah, Dobson landed some shots, and then it just looked bad. And Ben, once he couldn't get him out, that was it. He had no other answers. He didn't know what else to do. And they just kind of went back and forth. It was a shit fight, but I mean, I just kind of had it in the corner. But yeah, it was supposed to be a big Vegas knockout, and they were going to push the knockout. But now, all Hearn can push now is that, well, you know, he's been out for a while, and these people lied on him, and you know, he was forced to be out. That's why he was rusty. What do you expect when people tell lies about drugs? And he had to get back, and then so I don't know what they're going to do next. I mean, you can't say a step up because, my God, you could go out here and find a guy on the street would be a step up to Pistol Pete. Yeah. There's really – I don't know what a step up would be. A guy that's ranked in the top 100 would be a step up. I don't know what a step up would be.
Justin, there's been the name that was mentioned in the chat earlier, and I love this, was Lewis Crocker from Ireland. And I think given that they're both weight bullies, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, Crocker in his last fight didn't make weight and was, you know, bullied his opponent, and then obviously was started celebrating like he'd beaten someone, you know, at the same weight as him. And now you've got Conor Benn, who apparently hydrated to fucking 17 stone or whatever is in about 8 hours or whatever. Like, get them two in the fucking ring and let's have it out, because I tell you what, Crocker will absolutely destroy him.
It would, yeah, actually, you know what, I wouldn't mind that. It would be an interesting fight, and it would make
money. Interesting.
And it would make money, because, you know, Ireland, people would pay, and you're right, I don't think it would go long, and somebody's going to get knocked out, and exactly. I would say it would be Ben, but you know, Crocker hasn't, I mean, it's not like he's been laying out top 5 guys, so you never know. Ben can knock him out. I guess that's what would make it interesting, because you don't really know. But I would lean towards Crocker. But like you said, he looked so stupid celebrating versus a guy that he had like 30 pounds on, and that he completely screwed him out of the weight. So yeah, I didn't really like that.
Was Crocker one of these kind of blown up guys from the division below? What's the deal like?
I think obviously he was trying to make he's a welterweight.
No, sorry, no, Crocker. No, I know Crocker had the issues with weight, sorry. But I mean, the guy Ben was fighting, is he like a career welterweight? You know,
I'll be honest with you, Zeke, I have no idea. Like, I have no idea. But again, like, when Ben's hydrating to.
How is he hydrating to 170 pounds? He's not a big welterweight. What the fuck's going on there?
No idea. Honestly, and to be honest with you, and Justin, you can back me up on this one. I thought Dobson looked bigger than Ben in the ring. In frame.
He's never been a big looking welterweight at all.
Yeah, Dobson, Pistol Pete looked a little bit bigger than he, and that might have had something to do with why he did knock him out, because that guy was bigger than him, and I guess he's been around for a while, and once he couldn't – I'm just thinking about it, man. Has he really not – he hasn't – yeah, he's got power. Does he really have power? He hasn't knocked out anybody, like you would say, has a great chin. He knocked out Chris Algieri. He knocked out Vargas. He hasn't knocked out anybody worth a damn. So does he really have power? Obviously.
Algieri was done, and he was fighting above his – again, he was a dragged-up guy from like welterweight.
He's never
been in with a proper opponent of any description. No. Never fought a domestic rival. Didn't fight for the English title. Didn't fight for the British title. Didn't fight for the European title. Wasn't even put in with like some sort of name in a non-title fight. It's all bollocks, man. Bollocks.
His dad did all that, and that's why we're here right now. That's the whole point. His dad did all that, and that's why he's here.
Our man Joe from Sheffield has obviously put Dobson was a welterweight, so it seems like he's probably a career welterweight and has been there all his career. But anyway, look, lads, I wouldn't be able to let you go. I could not let you go without discussing the big topic. Actually, there's two topics of the week. How can I not forgive that, right? Well, maybe there's three. I'll tell you what, let's do all three. Let's just do all three, right? We'll start with the sad news about the death of the fighter in Japan. Forgive me, I think it was his name, Kagaguchi, was it, or something like that? Forgive me if I've got that wrong. Did either of you see the fight on Boxing Day that involved your man there who sadly passed away?
Nah, didn't see it.
No, Justin?
I saw the highlights like the day after, but I didn't actually sit there and... I've only seen one guy die, and that was on an ESPN. I don't know if nobody remembers this, but I can't remember the guy's name, but it was on, you remember ESPN had like the Tuesday night fights and they had like the Friday night fights during the summer. They were fighting on an aircraft carrier and this guy got beat up the whole fight. He died. That's the only time I've ever actually watched a guy. I guess you can say watch a guy die, but no, I just saw the highlights of that fight.
All right. Well, look, I'll stick my 10 pence in. Is I'll watch the fight on that night. And I had serious concerns for him when he went back to the ring at the bell, because he was like, he'd been knocked down a few times. Some heavy, like, don't get me wrong, it was a classic fight. If you haven't seen it, it's absolutely worth rewatching. He took some heavy blows. And when that final bell went, like, his corner were basically dragging him back. Like, the guy needed to be on the deck, gas and air. Like, he was in a really bad state. And then watching them kind of, like, literally, like, there was one either side and they were dragging him back to the room afterwards. It was a sad state of affairs.
What are they going to say, though? You would rather get knocked out cold than you would take a long beating. It's easy. It's better with one punch and then and instead of going 10 rounds taking punches.
Usually
the guys that die are the ones that have taken like 12 round beatings, not the guys that just take one quick shot in the first or second round.
Yeah, and even like, again, like Joe was saying, that the way they held him up and carried him backstage was it was disgusting. Like, and do you know what doesn't make it any better? Because obviously that was a fight that was funded by NUA, as I believe, as a kind of like, you know, like some kind of prize fight, if you like. So that's not going to look good on NUA's record. So I imagine he's going to feel quite bad about that. But anyway, we'll move on. The other thing, Carl Weathers, obviously our man Apollo Creed from the Rocky films. Boys, by all means, jump in and say your pieces. But before you do, like, I mean, he made Rocky for me. Like, you know, Rocky was never going to be Rocky if it was just him on his own. He always had to have an opponent, and the opponent had to be a tough guy. The opponent had to be a slick and this, that, and the other. And Carl Weathers obviously produced that and was brilliant at it. Does anyone want to chime in?
I'll just chime in and say, maybe I'm destroying my kind of hardcore credentials here, but I've never really seen... I watched Rocky when I was a kid. I watched a couple of them, but I'm not a big Rocky guy, to be honest, for the films, but God rest Carl Weathers, you know. Yeah, I know the Rocky films have done probably a lot of good for boxing, so...
Hey, while you're eating that pizza, put the movie on now.
Yeah, get them moving on with the pizza. What a great time to do it and all. Yeah. I won't watch one, watch two. No. Justin, any words?
I mean, not just because of Rocky. I like Carl Weathers for, like, you know, Predator.
Yeah.
He was in
Remember him from Predator, right?
Yeah, he was in Happy Gilmore, just all the other stuff. He was funny. I mean, I liked him. It's weird because they talked about, like, as of like 2 weeks ago, he was doing all those conventions and he was doing fine. I guess, like, that's what they always say in life. You never know. It could just jump up and bite you right in the ass and you're just gone. I mean, no matter how, I think they said he just didn't wake up. Like, he went to sleep and just didn't wake up. So you never know. So, I mean, there's no point of worrying about it because when it happens, it happens.
Yeah. No, God bless his soul. Another good guy that's gone. And then obviously, I'd love to just mull over what's happened this week with you both. Obviously, we've got Tyson Fury pulling out of the Usyk fight. Yes, there's a date for it. Oh, it's May, fucking in May. That seems a long way off for me. I had the beers in already. But anyway, what do you make of it all? I mean, to be honest with you, I think it's a bit farcical now. There's been too many kind of times when, you know, the Klitschko rematch didn't happen. The David Haye bollocks. We've seen loads of it, and it's just, you know, the Anthony Joshua, is it on or is it off? I know that probably is more to do with her than anything, but, like, there's been so much bollocks, and there's only so much you can take as a fan. What do you make of it?
I mean, in terms of this postponement, right? I know some people are kind of casting doubt on it, or where up until some folks come out saying it was suspicious, saying he was ducking it. I don't believe that. These things happen in boxing. The biggest fight in history, Rumble and Jungle, that got postponed because of a cut in sparring. It happens. It's unfortunate. Does seem to happen to Fury a bit more than other fighters, but again, some of the things, these kind of mix-ups and bullshit does tend to follow him about. But it's just how it goes. I'm sure it'll still happen. There's enough money on the table. Saudis want it. It'll happen, but it's just a pain in the ass to deal with. And that's as much as I've got to say about it.
Justin?
No, I agree with him. I mean, it wasn't fake, and it wasn't. Now, if he'd have come out and said, hey, you know, broke my hand, messed up my shoulder, baby, but I think it's just, really, with Fury, it's not – I think everybody agrees that it wasn't fake. It's just like, okay, well, it had to be something. Like, something was going to happen. And for Fury, I think he was lucky it happened because I don't think he was ready to go for this fight. I don't think he was ready. Does this help him? Yes. I mean, it's going to give him advantage because he's going to get 2 more months to train. He's going to get a lot more time to get, you know, his head right. So I think it helps him. But, no, it wasn't done on purpose.
Well, he's not going to be sparring in those 2 months.
I know, but
hear me out, please. Hear me out, right? So, again, I don't know what a full camp looks like for a professional boxer, but obviously, thankfully, like, we got Joe in the chat, and he trains young amateurs and things like that. And I asked the question of him, and I said, you know, a couple of weeks out, should he be, like, sparring like that, you know, because if you watch that video, it looks quite full contact. There's, you know, they're leaning on each other. There's shots being thrown. You know, it seems quite heavy. Like, you know,
and was it from a headbutt or a cut? From a headbutt or a punch?
From an elbow. But, like, again, you watch that video, you know, and they're right in close to each other. You know, like, throwing arms and what heads are going in and all sorts, like. And I just wonder whether, you know, two weeks into the biggest fight ever, should you be sparring in that intense fashion, or should you be kind of, you know, like, doing, you know, light sparring and, shadow boxing, etc. I don't know. But, like, again, people that train boxers will know better than I do. But I would assume that when you're, if you're having this, for example, if you're saying a 6 week camp, yeah. I would assume that the first 3 to 4 weeks is, you know, the sparring, the heavy sparring sessions, maybe even the first 3 weeks, the heavy sparring sessions. And then you're dipping off towards the end, you know, and then starting to take it more lightly, making sure that you haven't got any injuries. And I think that's what pisses me off with Tyson Fury, that to me looked like a heavy session. Like, it really did.
Well, you're talking about a 6 week camp. He's fucking nearly had a 6 month camp because he was in camp for fighting Ngannou, supposedly, before that. And then he swung straight into.
He didn't spar. He didn't spar.
Of course, like, we know.
Fucking Ngannou, did he?
But, I mean, was he wearing the head guard?
And he's ended up with. Head guard as well.
He ended up with a cup. That's weird. Yeah, but, yeah, it can happen. It can happen. You've just got to take it on the chin, you know, as a boxing fan. I mean, the Aziz fight, I'm sure, was postponed. I'm sure that was meant to happen last year.
Was it? Yeah, it wasn't a cut.
Whatever reason it was, I can't remember. I mean, obviously, Callum Smith and Beterbiev, again, not a cut, some sort of weird toothache thing. But it happens, you know. It's just fucking annoying when it's a really, really big fight that we're all looking forward to.
I think Fury knows his numbers up. I genuinely, I know it's not very kind to say that on someone that I've traveled to support Tyson Fury. You know what I mean? Like, I've been to Germany to see him, and Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and that was hard for me being an Arsenal fan. But yeah, fuck me. Like, he really, like, his credibility is falling off a cliff right now, and it's a shame, really.
Well, time will tell on that front. Because he should have all the advantages, really, against Usyk. Maybe you can say Usyk's a wee bit smarter, a wee bit cuter, but, you know, size, weight, height, probably experience at heavyweight, power maybe even as well. Everything's in Fury's favour. So if Usyk goes and absolutely turns him over and it's not competitive, kind of almost in the way that the Joshua fights well for Usyk, Maybe you can say it caught up with him, but I think it will be a competitive fight, whoever comes out on top. I had always leaned towards Fury in that one, but latterly with, you know, he didn't look great against Ngannou. Usyk has looked quite good against Joshua. He's definitely shown that he can compete at heavyweight. So it's still in a balance for me. It's still an interesting fight. Just we need to see it happen.
Yeah, Justin, who are you picking? Bearing in mind, obviously, we've had the putback now. It's not until May. Who are you picking now? Has that changed, swayed your judgment at all? Or?
I mean, the Ngannou kind of changed a lot of the stuff for people. But honestly, in the end, if I had a big if Fury is ready to go and he's mentally ready to go, Usyk might be more technically skilled, might have a little bit of this, but I still think if Fury is 100% ready to roll mentally, physically, I think he'll get him.
I just think
if just because, yes, is Fury, is he a little overhyped? Yes. And I think that's just because the other heavyweights the last 10, 12 years hadn't been that great. But he does have skill. He can do things other guys can't do. Usyk, here's the thing about this. Usyk can't knock him out.
I feel Usyk's got to box to a decision, but I feel like Usyk can box to that decision all day long.
Usyk has to fight a perfect fight. Dubois got to Usyk a few times. Perfect. And then Usyk can't stop him. So it's like, can Fury stop Usyk? I think he could, because Usyk has been buzzed a couple of times. It's not like Usyk hasn't been. If we remember, yes, he beat him. But in that second fight, Joshua had a lot of success, more than people want to give him credit for in the second fight. He did some good things, and people just don't want to give him credit for. I mean, I don't want to give him credit for it, but he did do some good things. So if Fury is ready and he comes out, I don't think it's going to be a knockout, but I think he's going to win 116, 12, 115. I think he's going to beat him. It's going to be close. But I think he'll get him because I love Usyk. We all like his personality and his style. But I just think Fury in the end. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't really care if I'm wrong. It's one of those deals. If I'm wrong, great. I'd be happy to be wrong. I love if Usyk wins. Yeah, I'm just kind of feeling like Fury just. But who knows? I mean, we don't know. And Ngannou, I do believe Ngannou was straight up. Fury didn't care. He didn't train. He didn't do shit. He took the money. Had a good time, thought he was going to whoop his ass, thought that guy sucked, and Ngannou was just tough enough that it was like, oh, shit, well, I didn't do anything serious for this fight. Now I've got to sit here and figure out a way to go the full distance when I haven't trained or done shit, and he got through it. If he's ready, he could. I think he'll win. I've always thought that, and I'm not going to change it now just because he looked bad versus an MMA fighter.
I'm going to tell you both now, right? I'm going to be waving the Ukraine flag in my bar like a gay man at Pride. Like, I genuinely think that, like, if there's one man that's going to pull a decision out of the bag, and let's face it, yeah, many people wrote Usyk off against Joshua. They were like, oh, bigger man, stronger puncher, blah, blah, blah. Usyk nearly fucking knocked him out in the first fight. That last bell rang early because he was on the verge of fucking putting him on the deck. Like, I know the second fight was tighter, but it was always going to be tighter because obviously Joshua had learnt what Usyk does and was, you know, trying to fight back and this, that, and the other, right? I just think Usyk's fighting for a country. Tyson Fury's fighting for money. Like, it just, there's levels to this. Again, I go to it all the time. There is levels to this, yeah? And I just think Usyk's mindset is, you can't forget that in this fight. You really can't forget that.
Well, one thing I would say is that Usyk is a dedicated professional athlete who's lived his life the right way, and Tyson Fury is not. We all know that between fights, Tyson Fury blows up in weight. I think there's been times in his life when he's been on the bevy, probably been on the coke. He has not lived his life in a way that would have you confident about career longevity and being able to maintain his high standards, you know, right into his late 30s. Now, I absolutely agree that Fury totally underestimated Ngannou, took him lightly, thought he could just show up and take the piss out of him. It didn't work out that way. But maybe it has caught up with Fury a wee bit. You know, we saw it with Ricky Hatton, and I don't think Fury is any more professional than Ricky Hatton was. As a heavyweight, he can get away with it a bit more. He doesn't need to make weight. And I do kind of wonder if maybe the lifestyle and the weird shit that surrounds Fury, he's just a weird guy. Like, he's always had erratic performances in him. I mean, I remember when he was coming up, I was a real doubter of Fury. You know, he was younger, he was fat, he was overweight, he was kind of clowning around in the ring, and I never really saw it until probably the fight against Klitschko. And after that, he really, okay, he had the time out the ring, but he really seemed to kind of find his groove and really show that he was a top-class heavyweight. But, you know, he has always had weird, erratic performances in him. Even remember John McDermott fucking beat him and get ripped off in the scorecards.
Yeah.
All right, Fury won the rematch, but does a guy that loses to John McDermott, how can you really look at him beating Usyk as a sure fucking thing? I don't think you can.
No, I think, to be honest with you, Zika, it was a long time ago, that fight as well.
But he's consistently had...
Well, Ngannou was a weird...
Well, Ngannou was a weird one. McDermott was a weird one. Was it Steve Cunningham knocked him down? Was it Cunningham with a big overhand right? He's had these weird ones in him, is what I'm saying. I know it was a long time ago, but he's always been a weird guy with a weird performance in him. Even the one against the big Swedish guy. Like, I know he came through in the end and he had the cut and all that. Wow, and yeah. And that was the first fight back and he wasn't quite sharp and all that. But it was... He should have beat Wallen fucking easy. Was it not? Was it the second fight? Oh no, was it Nevin? Somebody, either some Serbian cunt or something. They fought. It was the second fight back. It was the second fight back. It was Nevin. Yeah. Somebody. I remember the guy.
He had two. It was two, and then Wilder, wasn't it?
So the first fight back was a total bomb. Yeah. Fair enough, whatever. But that fight against Wallen was harder than it should have been, even apart for the cut. Didn't look 100%, and I know he was on the comeback. And then he had a right good performance against Wilder and he came off the floor and, you know, it was an amazing kind of thing that he'd done in that fight. But he has always been an erratic guy with erratic behaviour and erratic performances in him. So, yeah, as much as all things being equal, Fury should, in my opinion, be able to go and beat Usyk. Maybe it's not going to go that way. And I'm not as confident about it as I once was, that's for sure.
Yeah. Before I let you both go, I do have to ask you about one thing. Obviously, we understand that the fight for the light heavyweight undisputed has been made between Dmitry Bivol and Artur Buterbeyev. Fantastic fight. It's the fight we've all been wanting. Obviously, I know there's still some kind of finer details to be ironed out on that one, but as we understand, obviously June is the time that that one will take place. Justin, to you, I mean, regardless, it's going to be a good fight, but I just can't see past Buterbeyev for me, because he's such a hard hitter. And I think I go back to what I said, and I've said it many times on the podcast and on our little Nutters call-ins, that there's three finishers in boxing. When they know the going gets tough, there's three finishers in boxing, and that's Inoue, that's Crawford, and one of them is Buterbeyev. And I think that will make the difference in this fight.
I agree. It's like I just said earlier, Bivol is not going to knock him out. So, again, I always look at when you watch a fight, one guy has to be perfect. Bivol has to be perfect. And Bivol is going to have to fight a little bit more out of his comfort zone, because, you know, look at Bivol's last fight. Bivol likes to keep it around first, second gear. That's about it, if he has to. Versus Canelo, he could go up a little bit. But even versus Canelo, it's not like Bivol really cranked it up and was fighting at this credible pace. Versus Buterbeyev, he's going to have to do that. He's going to have to pick up the pace. Because Buterbeyev will just walk him down and destroy him. If he doesn't throw a lot of shots, he doesn't keep a high, high level, he's not going to keep him off of him. So if I had to bet money, I would say 9th, 10th round, we're going to see Bivol take a knee, like have to take a break. And I think Buterbeyev stops him late, just because of the fact Bivol is going to have to be at 110% running the whole time, just completely throwing his shots. Have to keep on. I mean, he's going to have to really be on it. That's just so hard versus a guy when you can't stop the guy and you can't knock him out. So it's like, if you can't knock him out, Bivol has to be unstoppable. Like, his boxing has to be at another level he's never gone to. I don't know if he can go to that level.
Yeah, agreed. Zico, obviously, we've seen Bivol fight to points, wins, and, you know, some people are impressed by it, some others aren't. Me personally, I just don't think he steps on his opponents when he knows he could actually get a job done there. And I think if he decides to do that against someone like Artur Buterbeyev, I think that's it's going to be his calling card, and that'll be him exiting the ring potentially on a stretcher.
Well, I'm maybe taking the other view for you guys. I think I'm kind of wanting to lean maybe just about towards Bivol.
Oh, yeah, bastard.
I'm telling you, no. Like, I look at the Buterbeyev the last couple of fights. Now, he fought Yard, and I thought he was going to wipe the floor with Yard. I thought he should have wiped the floor with Yard.
And well, he did.
Eventually he got to him, but it was a much harder fight.
I don't think Yard... As much as people make out that Yard put in a performance, and to a point he did...
Yeah,
I almost feel like Buterbeyev was always in control of that one.
Right. Well, put it this way, I don't really rate Yard's fight. I don't think Yard's that good. But he made a decent fist of it as a bare minimum. I thought he was going to go away for 3 rounds.
Let me throw this to you, right? Bivol against Yard. I don't think that goes 12 rounds all day long.
Of course, it goes 12 rounds and Yard doesn't get a sniff at it. But that's a different fight. Bivol's a guy who consistently has fought to the level of his opponents. Was it Craig Richards he fought in the UK? Was it him? Can't remember. Yeah. Fought a kind of UK-based guy.
Yeah,
Yeah, but he beat him in points. He did what he had to do to win the fight.
Yeah, right? But Richards probably did what Yard did to Buterbeyev and took like, you know, Bivol to points.
Yeah, but Bivol's that guy that does enough. Buterbeyev's supposed to be the Terminator. You know,
he is
the Terminator, but he wasn't quite the Terminator in the way that he usually is against Yard. Now, in terms of the Yard fight, okay, that fight happened. We all saw what happened. He did get the job done in the end. See, even against Callum Smith, right? He won the fight. He was always comfortable, but he wanted a couple of rounds off in the middle of the fight. Now, was that because he was so comfortable that he just thought, right, I'll bide my time and wait, or is he starting to get to that point where he cannot fight hard for 12 rounds? I don't know.
No,
But I, no, 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 hang on, hang on, hang on, no, no, no. And I just think, like, Bivol, the fight, you say that, oh, we can't knock him out, and he has to really kind of control the fight and, you know, dominate him almost to get the points decision. Well, he couldn't knock Canelo out, and we all thought there's no way we get a decision, even if he maybe deserved it. But he ended up finding a way, and he ended up outboxing Canelo. Probably had Canelo in a bit of bother late in the fight, I remember. I just think Bivol, maybe, I think, listen, if somebody wants to say that Beterbiev's going to win the fight, he's going to knock him out, he's going to stop, he's going to boss it, I'm not going to say you're crazy for thinking that, but I think Bivol is being underrated in this fight, just given that he is a mover, he is a boxer, he is a guy who has went in against a top, top guy in Canelo and got the job done. You know, how many people, Mayweather done it, right? He got the job done against Canelo, he outboxed him, you know, it was in his favour at the time, you know, and Canelo was still on the way up, wasn't quite what it was going to be. Golovkin, as great a fighter as he was, and maybe he should have deserved it, he never got the job done, you know?
Fight for me, but anyway.
Well, for me too, but ultimately, he didn't get a decision. Yeah. It was a close fight, a lot of close rounds. I thought Golovkin deserved to win it, don't get me wrong. But ultimately, how many guys have got a job done against Canelo? Two guys. And one of them is Bivol.
I think if Beterbiev had the opportunity against Canelo, I think it would be a different conversation. But again, that's me. You know, I go back to it. I think if you put Beterbiev in against Craig Richards at that point, I think Craig Richards goes down.
Of course. Yeah, of course. But it's a different fight. And remember as well, the Beterbiev that would have fought Craig Richards, what is it, 4 years ago now, maybe? I don't know. Yeah, it's not the Beterbiev that's still here. You know, so I just wonder if the fight is coming at the right time for Bivol and maybe just the wrong time for Beterbiev. That's a big factor for me as well.
But
in thinking that maybe Bivol's going to get a job done.
But the beauty of it is, Zico, is that, you know, we're going to see it. It's happening. And,
yep.
and that yep. is what yep. we want, you know.
I'd like to thank His Excellency.
Indeed, I'll second that. His Excellency has been nothing but brilliant recently. And we thank him for all his hard work. Boys, I'm going to leave it there because obviously it's getting quite late. And obviously you boys, you know, Zico, you've probably got a pizza to tuck into. Justin, What you got going on this evening? You got anything fancy coming up?
Nothing.
Get the shotgun out and start fucking firing some bullets at some people in the backyard.
Celebrated a gunfire.
Yes, I live in redneck country, but I do not own a gun. Last night, I mean, I live around people that are out target shooting because you can hear them in the backyard for like 3 hours, but that is not me.
Well, have a bottle of Lone Star in the backyard, mate. That would be me if I was there.
I will.
Good man. Thank you both for joining me.
No worries, Danny. Cheers for starting
to enjoy it. And right. We look forward to the main pod tomorrow night. All the best.
Right. Catch you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.